All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blind Side Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and of course, alongside me, right there, he's back in the studio tonight with us here for the Blind Side Blitz. It's Mr. Joe DeCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back for another edition, and we know you all been looking forward to this. Yet another week of NFL talk. That's right, we're here for you guys out there, and if you're new to the show, just help us out a little bit. It does go a long way. We really do appreciate it. Anybody that hasn't done so already, head over to YouTube, Grumblings Media, right there on that channel. Mm-hmm. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up while you're at it. And don't forget to turn all your notifications on so then you can join in next week. Make sure you share it to all your family and friends. And that's what it's about. You can also follow us anywhere you get your podcasts. That's right. Go to Grumblings Media, hit the follow and all that jazz. And don't forget to tip your waitress. You can head over to the grumblingsmedia.com website where you'll find there great articles as well as other podcasts like ours, where it be sports, whether it be entertainment or political, if you're into that kind of thing. It's all over there.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. So, all right, the big news that happened today, you know, the news dropped here, so we're going to talk about it here. The Jets fired GM Joe Douglas. There it is, cleaning house, the Jets after a disastrous loss to the Indianapolis Colts. And it was another game that you thought the Colts here, and you switched to the Jets, and the Jets let you down again, and they did a Jets thing.
I was right and wrong.
Yeah.
Because, like, one show I picked the Colts, and then the next show, they announced the quarterback switch. I'm like, oh, Flacco's not starting? Oh, man, Richardson, I don't know. And I went with the Jets, and I just should have stuck with the Colts pick. But hey, you know,
you live and you learn, Joe.
I won and lost the same week.
That's right.
That's really how it.
That's special. That's almost something that only Jets can do. You know, you're right there. So.
It's kind of like an uncanny talent, really. I mean,
uncanny.
I gotta say, like the Jets, that's something that I learned after this past week is that. Just when you think the Jets give you a glimmer of hope and a game where they probably should have won, they just greatly disappoint the Jets fans once again. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, it was so bad in the stadium. They broke out the old Jets, like, you know, brown paper bags over their faces, embarrassed to be fans type of a whole setup. Costumes that they were wearing, but it was like, wow. Like how? And you go and by answering that after that loss, you answer it as an owner by, hey, you know what? We're going to fire the GM that did a pretty darn good job the last 3 years in drafting talent for us and helping build this team. You know, getting Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson. Like, they really put together, you know, on paper anyways, a solid team.
Yeah.
And you blame the GM and you're firing him regardless of how successful he's been. I understand. I get it. You're basing his firing off of the decision to bring in Aaron Rodgers, saying that that was going to be the reason you could jump right back into the playoff race, you know, and also agreeing to trade for Davante Adams and taking on that full contract at the same time. And it's not working out. So just because of those two decisions, I feel like that's where the owner said, nope, we're done with Joe. It's time to move on from him. And we're going to start all new this upcoming offseason. Coaching staff, GM, and a new quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, too, because this went from a team that was – potentially Super Bowl bound, potentially playoff bound, at least division leader, somewhere contending with the Buffalo Bills, and they lose their head coach and they lose their GM, and they're all, you know, then they changed play calling too with their offensive coordinator. So three different spots, big moves made within the same season, and traded even for Davante Adams, and all for naught. You know, it's all crazy. And the thing about that last game, though, too, it wasn't even the offense that was killing him. This one's the defense. It's crazy to see how the defense even went from so good, like top five defense, to just struggling to tackle towards the you know, this now 12th week of the season. It's crazy.
And you know what? You can attribute that to the fact that you fired the originator, the original defensive-minded guy, and Robert Saleh. because he was holding people accountable on that defense. Not to say that Jeff Albright isn't, but I'm saying that he was a difference maker on that defensive side of the ball. And you see it. You see it happening with that Jets defense. After you get rid of him, he was the brains of the operation. And he brought in Jeff Albright to kind of help him, assist him on that side of the ball. But you're noticing a Jets defense that is not the same since Saleh left.
Yeah.
This is a defense that, again, like you just brought it up, poor tackling, you know, not executing the plays that were called. You know, some guys even looked lost in coverage, weren't sure who they were supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
And now you top it all off with, all right, well, complete reset now. Now, after this loss, you know, loss to the Colts, it just kind of like gave that little last nudge to the owner and said, yeah, we can't even win games we're supposed to win. I'm done. But everybody's getting the axe. Mm-hmm. The GM now, you know, Saleh already got the axe. You know, we're just moving forward. We're going to start all fresh. And honestly, what's going to happen too is you might even see Rodgers go. He's going to be gone. He's going to be out of the building after this year. Now, after that all happens, the dust settles a little bit. What do they do with Devontae?
Mm-hmm.
You took on the whole contract. So you're definitely on the hook for the remainder of this year with that large sum of money. Next year, it gets crazy. This year wasn't that bad, but next year is like close to $35 million. And you can't just cut him. You can try to trade him maybe, but again, I don't think it's going to, you know, you're not going to gain that much leeway by doing that. So there's a lot of questions and a lot of tough decisions the Jets organization are going to have to go through in the offseason.
Right, right. And it was when I heard about the news, too, I was looking at Twitter and everything, and I saw Jordan Schultz. He's an insider for Fox Sports. He sources told him, though, too, that in the last month or so,
mm-hmm.
that the team has even been overseen by the higher-ups, not Joe Douglas. So some of those decisions possibly were made, you know, with Devontae, mm-hmm. Hassan Reddick, by ownership.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can't even point blame on some of those moves on Joe Douglas for that. They've done it themselves, but they still, with this, Joe Douglas might end up being the whole scapegoat after this is all said and done. And like you said, it's crazy to see that this is a full reset mode to now where they might even just give up on Aaron Rodgers after this year at this point too, mm-hmm. which really doesn't surprise me even to an extent because his body language, you know, he's older. He doesn't look very good this season. He's banged up. Doesn't seem like he can take those hits like he used to before. We've got Back in the Stone Age with us tonight.
What's going on, Stone Age?
Back in the Stone Age says, yo, Blitz Boys, every human with a high T knew that bringing Rodgers to New York would fail because Douglas even managed to overpay for a 38-year-old quarterback bidding against himself. What a loser. Good riddance. Man, Jets, I don't know, he's just hating on the Jets. They're hard there. I don't think he's even a Jets fan there. But, yeah, I mean, the Jets fans deal with this a lot. And right here, I'm just bringing up here the actual letter statement from Woody Johnson here on Twitter that, you know, thanking him and everything for joining. And Phil Savage will be the interim general manager for the remainder of the season. But if this has already been said here, that ownership has been already making moves, that this guy, Phil Savage, really means nothing to them at this point. I did, though, find on Twitter, I think this is really funny, and I think I have to share it with you guys. I don't know who made this, but I want to say the handle of CB Miller shared it, and I want to share it here because I think this is hilarious because it says it's a Jets statement from loving long-suffering Jets fans. This is a statement from Jets fans. Today we inform Woody Johnson that he will no longer be needed as owner of the New York Jets. We want to thank Woody for his commitment to the Jets over the past three decades. But really, we can't because every move he had made since then, since Rex Ryan and his inside the franchise, every single move in of the above has made every chance for this thing to. I can't even read the rest. Sorry, but I messed up that whole thing. But you guys can read it there. Absolute, just making fun of and mocking Woody Johnson. And this is where Jets fans are right now. That they don't know what to do now. So what is the reset point? You've got all this talent here. Do they go out and get one of those new head coaches, Ben, you know, Johnson, we're hearing is going to be looked at a lot of times, or do they go and get, you know, a veteran, you know, head coach right there?
I think it's funny that, you know, everybody keeps bringing up Ben Johnson's name, but he's going to choose where he wants to go. Like, no, there's going to be no shortage of teams interested in Ben Johnson. It's going to be where he feels like he wants to start his coaching career. And it's going to start either with the high-end choice of a quarterback, or maybe he just likes a different situation where maybe there is a little bit more veteran leadership there. But the Jets are going to have a hard time, I think, bringing anybody in. I mean, think about the last you know, decade of this team and how they still have yet to become a winning team, have yet to even reach the playoffs. And how are you going to sell it to them? You know, oh yeah, we don't have a quarterback. Oh yeah, we don't have like really a complete offensive line. We got some weapons, but that's pretty much it. And then defensively, we were a top five defense, but since Salah's been gone, now we're like one of the bottom feeder defenses. We're middle of the road type of defense. You know, do you want to take this job? Like, I don't know if that's going to work. After countless poor decisions by not just sometimes the GMs or the coaches that have been there, but I get the whole, you know, kind of like, you know, funny haha type of, you know, statement letter that a fan created for Woody Johnson. But honestly, you could take it in a literal sense, because Woody Johnson has not been a great owner. He's got a lot of money, but he hasn't been a great owner because he also has made a lot of poor decisions, whether it be hiring whatever head GM he hires, whatever head coach he's hired or agreed to hire in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And now, yet again, Woody, what do? You hit the panic button and fire everybody because you're not happy with what – I understand you were promised that, like, hey, we'll bring Rodgers in. We'll, we got this defense with Robert Saleh, and we got the offense that we rebuilt from the ground up. And because it didn't work out in its first year of birth, you pull the plug and you're just like, we're done.
Yeah.
I can't take it anymore. Can't take what?
Right.
Like, my thing about this is there's a lot of reason. There's always a lot of variables to any decision that's made and the outcome of it. They decided to bring in Aaron Rodgers. Great. Fine. Yes. Is he old? For sure. Is he the same as he used to be? No. But they knew that if they could upgrade that offensive line and give him time, he can slice and dice it and rip up defenses like no other. It's not that he can't throw the ball anymore.
Right.
It's because that they failed Rodgers after saying we upgraded the offensive line across the board. You don't got to worry about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was not evident this year.
It definitely was not.
They still let pressure get in there. They still got to Rodgers. He took hits. He took sacks. He turned the ball over because of the pressure too.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wanted to, like, just say, oh, Rodgers just absolutely sucks. He's not any good. Well, that's not the case, really. Like, the Jets failed him, too, just as he failed the Jets. So I think by making this kind of decision right now, and we're not, and you didn't even finish the season before making all these decisions and getting rid of your head coach, getting rid of your GM. Now what do you do? What's the plan, Woody? Like, you just got rid of everybody, cleaned house. And now the future seems like, all right, well, I'm ready to move on from Rodgers. At least that's what we're being told from sources with the Jets organization. We're being told that, like, they're on the outs of Rodgers. They're looking to move on from him after this year. If that is the case, and honestly, Davante Adams is going to be harder. You might have to wait a year before you can get out of his contract, because in 25, that's when you can cut him after June and you save $36 million in cap. This year, it's only 330,000. It's nothing. Yeah, it's a penny.
Yep.
So they hold on to him for the following year. Cool. But again, you're right back to where you started, where you still have some nice pieces on the defensive side. That's all well and good, but offensively, it sounds like you're not going to have a quarterback after this year.
Yep.
So you're either going to have to go into the draft and hope that you hit on a quarterback, which we all know how history works with the Jets on that. Yep. Or you go the veteran route and maybe bring in someone that is a veteran free agent or someone that maybe you could trade for on the low end and not have to give up too much to bring them in and give you a chance at least to maybe win next year. Or at least win a few more games than what you're doing now. Mm. So that's just the quarterback spot, though. But now you have to marriage that whatever quarterback you get with the next head coach that you're going to hire, with the GM that you're going to have to you have to find a nice GM and head coach relationship where that's going to work to help build this Jets team. You've completely blown this organization up yet again, but with no answers afterwards because you're just starting all over again. So this is not how you can build a team to win in the future. And I would just say this as a final little synopsis on it. If I'm in Woody Johnson's shoes, how I would have addressed this is you don't just go firing everybody. You want to blame the offense for not getting going. Okay, fine. I agree with firing the offensive coordinator. That just was kind of like a no-brainer, wasn't doing anything well. Todd Downing, you give him the playbook. He's calling better plays. The offense did get a spark when he called plays, so you see something there. Now let's hold off here, wait the rest of the season, even if we don't win another game. So to axe the GM that's done a pretty darn good job the last 3 years, to axe the head coach and blame a defensive-minded head coach for the offensive woes of this team is ludicrous to me. Just doesn't make any sense. If you wanted to give him one more buffer year, Robert Saleh, I'm speaking of, if you wanted to give him one more buffer year and say, okay, this is your year. Last year it didn't work out. Okay. Let's go back to the drawing board in terms of the offensive line. Do what you got to do there to get so that way Rodgers doesn't have to be on the ground that often. I'll give you one more year to prove it. But if it doesn't work, then everybody's getting the axe. Because you know very well that Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh were on board with bringing Rodgers in. So it was kind of like a dual partnership agreement. But now that you've... As an owner in Woody Johnson, you've axed everybody because in one season it didn't work the way you were hoping it would work. To me, that was too quick of a decision to just get. I understand you can point blame, you can get pissed off, but now you are in a spot where there's no answers after this, and now you got to just you're rehiring, you're hit the reset button and. Now it's almost like the Jets organization went from a lot of hype before the season started to now we don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Right, it's the same old dance, you know what I mean? They've gone from, hey, look, we have a shot here, and look what we have, Aaron Rodgers, you know, and look what we can do, and look at the talent. We could potentially be a contender. It didn't work out this year, but now all of a sudden, let's blow everything up, and now we still need to find another quarterback. We still need to build the offensive line. Same thing that they've been dealing with for the past decade.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happens when you have an owner that's like this. I know the New York Knicks have dealt with the same type of issue and things like that. And even my New York Giants at this point, too, same kind of thing with ownership. Well, I'm almost ready to start grumbling and making remarks here at the Maras for some of the way that they've handled some of this stuff. You know, I didn't like a lot of the choices they picked before as head coaches, you know, definitely for the last decade and things like that. But I hope that they really do – with the Giants at this point, stick with what they're saying, you know, originally and saying, hey, we're going to stick with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll because you need to try and keep that solid thing together to build off of something. And we only got we got a little bit of Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh together, but you know, he did get the defense together. You can't blame him for the offense. Like you said, get somebody else in here that, that has a different, you know, type of mindset here, different playbook, you know. Mm-hmm. And maybe he'd be the guy. And now I understand now if you do move on for Robert Saleh like they did, all right, next head coach here, offensive-minded coach here. You know what I mean? Maybe you elevate Todd Downing, like you said, elevate him now or something like that into that role instead of being, you know, the defensive coordinator or something. But try and get some stability here to where this team can kind of grow. So now even, too, now you've seen Joe Douglas is gone. Robert Saleh's gone. You know, who knows what's going to even go on with somebody else up in there. But now players are probably wondering, like, all right, who's going after this year now? You know, should I start cleaning out my locker now? And that doesn't help build, you know, camaraderie too in a team and make a team, you know, teammates feel comfortable.
What also,
either moving forward.
I mean, what it also shows too, Jim, like you're on the same track of like now that the coaching staff is going to be cleared out, most likely. Like, the, I don't think they're going to promote Todd Downing to head coach or whatever. If they want to keep somewhat of the same staff, they could make that kind of move, but. From a player's perspective, a lot of the veterans on this team are might be looking for ways to get off this team now. Mm-hmm. Because when you had the notion of, oh, they're going to bring Rodgers in, so we're going to literally have a veteran quarterback with that we can rally behind, you know, and things are looking better, you know, as a Jets fan prior to week one. And it's like, ah. You know, I'm cool with this. And they also attracted free agents to come to the Jets because of that allure that Rodgers has. Mm-hmm. And now you're ready to get rid of Rodgers. You're going to get rid of obviously you've already got rid of Saleh. You already got rid of the GM. You're cleaning house up in the front office. What does that show the rest of the players that are due to be free agents too? DJ Reed, a very good corner, due to be a free agent, a starter for them. He might just be like, I don't want to work with you guys at all.
Yeah,
I don't want to resign. I'm out. I don't want to do that. You got a lot of other guys, you know, Hassan Reddick. He's going to want to probably just dip.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Like, he's not even going to want to stay. Mm-hmm. You got Tyler Conklin, who's has a voided year coming up, where, like, he might just leave. Like, there's other guys on here. Tyron Smith's had a one-year deal. Javon Kinlaw, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that's just guys that are due to be free agents. There's other guys that might be coming into 1 year next year. They got just their contract year coming up, and they're like, well, you guys can cut me if you'd like. You know, I don't want to be here anymore, or, you know, trade me, whatever. We don't know what's going to happen, but you might even get trade, requests.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get me out of here. I don't want to play here. If Rodgers ain't here, if Robert Saleh ain't here, I'm out. So you got that aspect of it too from a player's perspective. What is this roster going to look like a year from now? Like, this could be a very different roster based on the decisions that have been made up from the top.
Mm-hmm. All right. So there you go. That Joe Douglas is out. We'll see what happens with this this continuing drama with the New York Jets. Oh man, for the rest of the season, and we'll see what happens. And next season is a whole new year. So
this is like the longest soap opera I've ever watched.
One of them, yes, absolutely. Joe, Tommy Cutlets, he's back. Joe,
Tommy DeVito,
he's back, my man. There he is, Tommy Cutlets. There he is. He's back. We talked about this last week, you know, mm-hmm. with the Daniel Jones. Do they bench him? What do they do? If they do, who do they go to? You know, we debated Drew Locke and then Tommy Cutlets here. DeVito, he's back. And so this is it. You know, we'll see what this kid has. I mean, again, I get it. You know, like you said last week, you know, a late rounder, you know, you already had him for a few different games. So you kind of see what it is. But why not? You either lose with you know, Drew Locke, or you maybe win a few games, or you just lose, and then you'll see what else you get with Tommy DeVito. And the way I look at it, too, you got to keep fans coming to the stadium, too. And I don't think fans are showing up. You know, they are either way for their team, but and cheering on Drew Locke. They loved Tommy Cutlets in there with the fingers, you know, forget about it, you know. So it brings a little bit more to the game. It's exciting for them for the next, you know, rest of the season here because there's nothing left. So why not?
It'd only be exciting if Tommy DeVito could actually get some wins going. You know, that's really the only thing that's going to get you to sell your seats for the Giants fans to continue to show up, because Tommy DeVito was a great story and all, but he's definitely not the future of this team. I understand the move. I get it. You know, you're going to continue to lose anyway, so why not make a change, because everybody is fed up with Daniel Jones and have been for maybe a year, maybe 2 years, depending on the kind of fan you are. But there's also been some supporters, which is a rarity. But I've also talked to some Giants fans that were like behind Daniel Jones and they didn't surround him with enough talent. And I get it. Those are all viable opinions. That does make sense. He hasn't really had a, star-studded offensive line for great protection and all that. And they tried this year. They did make that offensive line better, but it's just not good enough. And now, by making that decision, that they've clearly decided to officially make it in front of the fan base that they are going to move on from Daniel Jones. Maybe not in the way that we're thinking, like just flat out get rid of him. He could be he's just done as the starter. And maybe they hold on for insurance purposes next year, whatnot. We'll wait and see what the Giants decide. But again, I get the move. Tommy DeVito's going to get yet another opportunity to prove himself. And we'll see what happens this Sunday.
Yeah, and I read something, too, on Twitter that I think it was Tom Pelissero. He said something that if they wanted to cut or release Daniel Jones before March 14th, I think it is the date, that they get off scot-free here. And that they've already paid their money to him, and that's it. But after that, then the post and pre June 1st goes into effect, and then it hits the cap. So maybe around that time, we look to see if they do release him, or if they do pull off a trade.
Let me get this straight. They're saying that they can get off scot free with his contract, right, if they do what?
If they can release him or trade him before March 14th, I think was the date.
So that's pre June.
Mm-hmm.
Of this season, you are in the negative of $21 million and a $69 million dead money it. If you are to cut him.
It's before the next season starts, though. That's before the next season starts.
Yes, that's like, pre-June.
Yeah, but they said, but before March. Like, if there's a date before March that you could do it, and they said it still counts as this season.
The guaranteed money will count against this season if you do it before March, but you're still going to be hit hard with money.
Perhaps, but I mean, that's what the way it said that they were better off doing it then before March 14th rather than afterwards, because then it would be a better deal. Because again, we talked about it, we looked at it on Over the Cap, because it shows you.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
So somehow, if the Giants do that and they do work out better that way, we'll see if that's what they do. But, you know, a lot of people think, especially you, Joe, I think that they just hang on to him. And then,
I think it comes down to the guarantee. So if they don't feel like playing or paying the guaranteed money that's owed to him next year, that they would cut him before March and have to pay it. You're still going to have to pay it. You just would have to pay it for this season. It would go against your books this season. Yeah. And next year would be clear. So maybe that's what they're thinking, but you're still going to be hit, you know, with the cap. Now, if you waited till 25, then you're saving some cap space. You know, then if you cut them before June next year, you're saving $19 million instead of losing $21 million. Mm. And then you only got a $22 million dead money hit. So, and then if you wait till post, now you're looking at only a cap savings of $750,000. So, you definitely would want to cut them before June 1st. Next year, though, would be the ideal thing to do. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see what the Giants do. Yeah. Listen, we have seen the Broncos get rid of Russell Wilson's contract after playing 1 year on it and then having to ship a whole load of money for the next couple of years to him and not even playing there. So maybe the Giants take that route, too. I think that would just kind of like really mess up their financials, and they're already on the low end of the spectrum this year anyway, with having $3 million under the cap space. Next year, looks like they're going to have, you know, close to 30, but still on the low end. And I don't know. Maybe take the more sensible route with the finances, keep him on there for at least another year, and we'll see. We'll see what they decide.
Mm-hmm. All right, Joe. Now, last week here, we had a lot of crazy games here, too. Some shockers for me. One of them was even San Francisco losing to Seattle. I thought that was, you know, really interesting there, too. Pittsburgh and Baltimore in a tight one here. But then even Monday night here, the defense for the Dallas Cowboys, you know, they came to play there. They were playing pretty tough, getting a lot of pressure against Houston. End up being a tighter game than probably would have liked here for Houston, but they edge them out. And it makes me think that, you know, looking at Dallas, where they are and where they're sitting in the division, I guess they're technically, you know, they're not out because they can potentially catch Washington unless, you know, Washington keeps on winning along with Philly and tries to push for this division. But Jerry Jones has openly said that, hey, you know, I'm still in on Cooper Rush. So does he really think that he can win with Cooper Rush and try and get back into this thing? Or, you know, I think for me, if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, why not give Trey Lance a shot now too, just to see what happens, see if you do get a spark that way, because we've seen Cooper Rush come in before and he's done okay, but not spectacular. Like, again, he's another product that you already know what he is. Trey Lance now, you know, sitting behind multiple quarterbacks now, you traded for him. So why not see what he can do in the remainder of the season with an injured Dak Prescott who will not return? Put the young guy in there and see if that sparks something. And then either way, you make a run, or then, yeah, you lose a little bit.
Yeah, there's a reason why you traded for him. You didn't trade for him to be like, oh, he's only going to be a third-string quarterback for us. And we traded for him to bring him here just for that reason. Like, you traded him with the idea of you think you can work with him, develop him under Dak Prescott, and eventually, who knows, maybe give him an opportunity to be the starter for the Cowboys. That was the whole mindset behind that move. So now is the time where Dak Prescott, officially on the IR, will not return. He is done for the season. And I understand initially starting with Cooper Rush because he's like the veteran backup and all that, and see what he can do with McCarthy's offense. Mm-hmm. But now you're at a point where Cooper Rush has struggled, mm-hmm. you know, running the offense, you know, doing his job. And Trey Lance is probably biting at the bit to get in, and he wants to prove himself not only to the Cowboys but to the rest of the league. He's been downgraded by everybody across the spectrum saying that he'll never amount to be a starting quarterback. He won't work in the NFL. I'm one of those people. I just didn't think when he was coming out of North Dakota State that he was that good, more like just a running back that with the ability to throw. Mm-hmm. And now maybe he could prove me wrong. You know, I agree with you. I think the Cowboys should put Trey Lance out there with McCarthy running this offense. And if they do get into trouble, he's got legs. He might be able to run out of harm's way. He might be able to create more time that way, or just flat out take off and get the first down here and there. So I don't think that Trey Lance, you put him in and you're like, oh, we can get right back in the playoffs. No, that's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But what you can see is you can evaluate him as a quarterback in your system, and maybe next year he becomes your starter. Maybe you move on from Dak Prescott. You don't re-sign him. Bye-bye. Like, just get out of his contract, and now you're going to save a lot of money with Trey Lance and his lower-end deal, and you're going to be able to utilize that money next year to actually re-sign players that otherwise you might lose, like a Micah Parsons, like a Deron Bland, and so forth. So I think that would be the smarter idea for the Cowboys going forward.
All right, back to the Stone Age. Says they need to let Lance play, but Jerry Jones is too senile to understand the Cowboys are done.
Well, luckily, you know, his son is the one taking over mm-hmm. that whole thing.
Oh, hopefully, maybe he can, you know, have Dad take a nap quick, and then he can go. And
Dad still likes to be. He still likes to be in front of the camera for sure. Yes. If anybody checked out, and I know there was an awful lot of people at the Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight, mm-hmm. Jerry Jones was there because it was in his stadium.
Yeah. Yep.
But sure enough, He got an interview. He was on camera, you know, before the fight even started and all that. You know, doing the Jerry things that he does, smirking and this is a great place to be here. You know, like just loving life. But from when it comes to running an organization, you know, his son is taking more responsibility. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, I would make the change this week. Just get it. Just put him in there. Just see what happens. If he fails, like if he does not do anything for you and you're like, well, this was a mistake, do whatever you want. Start Cooper Rush the rest of the games. But if you see a spark, if you see something there that you've been working on with him, then you're like, you know what? I like what we see. Let's see what else he can do the rest of the year. And who knows? Maybe they already have their answer at quarterback.
Right. And they already had their bye week, so it's not like you get a bye week reset, then do it or whatever. No. I say they pulled the switch just like you said even here. And look at the injuries that they had, and especially in that last game. Their offensive line is just banged up. So what better to put even, you know, it sucks to say, what better to put a rookie quarterback in throw him into the Wolves, a younger quarterback here, but the guy's got mobility and stuff like that too. So what better type of quarterback to put there besides, you know, him and not put Cooper Rush, because you saw Cooper Rush, especially towards the end of the game, after all those injuries, there was no pass protection at all. He was just getting clobbered, sacks. They had no shot to come back into that game after that. And Cooper Rush even missed a couple of throws hitting, aimed in the wrong kind of, you know, off direction where CeeDee Lamb was expecting it and things like that too. Maybe Trey Lance can do that. But like I said, having that threat though to run, and especially if that offensive line's breaking down, maybe they can do something, a little backyard football to get things going on here. And then on top of that, to piggyback that whole thing with the depletion of the offensive line and the injuries, how far you think you're going to go? You know what I mean? With those injuries, that kills you.
Talk about injuries. You know, Jake Ferguson went down with a concussion, you know, in that game and didn't return.
Nope.
And
most likely
he'll return next week if he goes through the protocol and passes and whatnot. But again, you bring up the offensive line issues that they've had with injuries and whatnot. But my thing is, even if you put Trey Lance back there, if there's no protection, he could still make those mistakes he used to make at North Dakota State, you know, at San Francisco, where, you know, like that was the big issue for him. Or, you know, and something else that I wanted to touch on too is McCarthy as a play caller. When you don't have the offensive, your starting offensive lineman all full go, ready to go, you're battle tested and you're injury plagued on that line, you have to change your mindset on how you call the game now offensively. You might have to put double tight end set in to help, at least initially, help with that surge of the defensive line and create enough time for that quarterback to get rid of the ball. Or just, you know, you're going to have to do some things differently. And I didn't see that from him, where you were just hoping that, oh, well, maybe our backup, our second string, our third string linemen are going to be able to hold up just enough. But that was not happening. Mm-hmm. So, like, you have to change your play calling, too. So I blame for what they're able to accomplish, if you want to call it that, scoring 10 points. For what they were able to do, it also reflects badly on McCarthy, too, because he didn't change anything. He still tried to call the game the same way he would with Dak Prescott in there and a fully healthy offensive line, and nothing really changed. So, I mean, I think that it doesn't stop with just where the injuries are occurring. I think it's also McCarthy just, I want to say, stubborn in thinking that no matter what happens with how the team changes, his roster, with his injuries, he can still run the same way, and you can't. So for the Cowboys, they have a long rest of the season, and I do agree, like, maybe you just make that change now, put Trey Lance in, see if he does any better. If not, it is what it is, and we go from there.
All right, Joe, before we get to the picks, why don't you tell everybody where you can find shows like this?
It's very easily. You can very easily find it. You can either go A, head over to the website, rumblingsmedia.com, where they also have some articles over there, political, sports, entertainment. They have shows like ours over there. You can check out anything that you really want. Or you can really help us continue to grow. We are getting really close to where we at now. Oh, 3.8
thousand. Oh, 4,000 mark.
We're getting close to 4,000 mm-hmm. subscribers. Mm-hmm. Want you guys out there to help us out to get there. Really do appreciate it. It does go a very long way, and it's totally free, guys. I mean, it's it's the best deal ever. So just head over to YouTube, hit that subscribe button for us at Grumblings Media, hit the thumbs up for us. You can share it to your friends and family members and whatnot, and tune in every single week. That's right, every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's where you can find us.
All right, there you go. So, Harry, let's bring it in here. The picks competition. I got a new picture for you, Joe. I know you saw it earlier before the show. I gotta keep finding one. So there you go. I got that one there too for now. So woo, yeah.
I'm on the Amazon commercial.
Woo! I like it. So it's real close.
We should
there.
Just put the Amazon logo next to it.
I should just do a random one every time. Like I'll woo! Do another one. I try to find another one where I make a funny face too. We'll just keep it going. We'll just randomly ones put in there. Maybe Big John can help us out with some of those freeze frames from our shows here. Put it in there. But there it is. Still yes, tight sir. Competition. You know, we had all the same last week. We went 10-4.
I like it. Hey, we're doing streak, good now.
Yeah.
We're doing absolutely. Good every week.
Mm-hmm. We are catching Cynthia Freeland, I think. Or no, who is it I was going after? I can't even remember right now.
I don't know.
But anyways, we're getting there, Joe. There's a lot of tough games last week. We did get the Denver game right. I mean, we were annihilated on that one. Atlanta had no chance.
No, their defense. Broncos' defense is for real.
Yeah.
Like, and the fact that we mentioned, you know, early in the season, we're like, Bo Nix isn't doing that well right now. But over the course of the season, this kid is going to continue to get better. And quite honestly, at this moment, is saving Sean Payton's ass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if this didn't work with him, if he drafted Bo Nix and this was a dismal season, a losing season, Sean Payton could arguably be fired after this year.
Mm.
But now with Bo Nix and him developing it very nicely and playing pretty well now, saving his head coaching career for sure.
Yeah, and even watching the Cincinnati and Chargers game, man.
What that the was hell back happened forth. There?
Tale of two halves.
Dude.
Oh, my gosh. And it was funny. You think with what's like the game on the line, like your playoff implications on the line, your
right.
season on the line,
right.
that Cincinnati would have played a little harder here, especially on the defensive side. But it's clear that they need somebody else besides, you know, Hendrickson and Hubbard there. They need something else on the defensive side of the ball.
They had it.
Yeah, they came had back it. And they had it. Yeah.
No, they had all these younger D tackles, and they were starting to play really well. They had one guy come back, is it PJ Hall or whatever? He came back.
PJ Hill.
Yep. He's been out for quite some time. Yep. He came back. Then he got hurt again mm-hmm. in that game, mm-hmm. left the game. So it's like just when things start to get rolling in the right direction for the Bengals, they just let everybody down. As Bengals fans, like, you had to be super upset with that performance. They finished very strong in the second half, but mm-hmm. and then you also got to bring up the fact that McPherson, their kicker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, dude, to have not one, but two easier, I mean, most of the time, I want to say easy opportunities, but you've got to say, like, quick. You're a professional kicker. You have
really
to make
got out of hand
those kicks. You got to
yeah.
make them.
Yeah.
They're not the most difficult kicks ever. They were kind of short. Like, I don't get it.
He was going wide left the whole time.
He kept
what
pulling it.
Doing?
He kept pulling that kick, and I'm just like, dude, what is he doing?
Right.
Doesn't he really? Okay, the first time, all right, he pulled it. Okay, whatever. The second time, did the same thing. Like, dude, what, you're not changing anything. So for the Bengals, that was critical. Mm-hmm. He had to make that field goal. That might have changed the outcome of that game to where right. the Bengals end up winning and not the Chargers.
Oh, big time.
So it's just, dude, and now you failed.
Yeah.
Now you're, what's their record right now?
you can't, and it goes down to, you can't even settle for field goals. You know how they tell you, oh, now they can settle for a field goal? You can't even guarantee that right now. And that's what I think is funny about the NFL thinking that, hey, maybe we should narrow the goalposts right now.
Yeah.
And maybe we should do this because there's too many 50-plus yarders getting made. Yeah. So what? You're making more of those. But look at the difference. They're still making mistakes within 40 yards, 30 yards. They're still wide left, wide right. And you want to narrow it down even more, change the rules? Leave the rules alone. Kickers still have issues. You know, make them relevant right now because right now they are deciding games. And some of it right now is for the worse. They're missing kicks and to where the team is not able to win here. And that's key right here, especially for Cincinnati.
Yeah, so the Bengals are 4-7 right now.
4-7.
So they're not out of the playoffs, but they cannot afford to lose another game. They're not out of the playoffs. If they win out, they're still in. They're still close to getting that wild card based on how everybody finishes. But if they lose one more game, then they're systematically out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you got a tough road ahead. This is a game against the Chargers that you really, really needed to keep that momentum going and to give yourself a game buffer. You know what I mean? If you had to lose one down the road, it wouldn't have killed you. Now, it definitely will.
Yeah, definitely, Joe. And it's tough, and it makes it that much harder now that the percentage of making the playoffs. But, again, you've got a couple teams you're eyeing right now. Miami, they're getting a little win streak going here. Indianapolis, they're sitting at 5-6. Can they kind of bring this season back around? And Denver right there at 6-5, they've kind of crept up there silently and moving up. And that AFC West division now, you're looking at the Chiefs 9-1, the Chargers 7-3, and Denver at 6-5 right there, potentially getting three teams make it into the playoffs out of that division. But we'll see. It's a long season here, but Cincinnati, they've got a long road ahead for them. So that was an up and down game, but the Chargers, in that one too, almost let it off the hook when they're rolling.
Right.
And that's what kind of sucks with this type of team though, too, is what do you do when you have a lead like that? Can they hold on to it? Do they, go lax and stuff like that? Because really it wasn't a whole lot of offense that did it really. I mean, for me, they made some big plays, especially to Ladd McConkey, but Justin Herbert did a lot with his legs. So running when the coverage was there, he had everywhere to go and tons of field to go that they never took that into consideration here. And Justin Herbert taking off.
Well, here's the other thing too about that game is the fact that if you didn't notice, I know Chargers fans noticed, but they weren't running crazy. They weren't running super heavy. We mentioned that if they were to take the Jim Harbaugh route, they are going to lose more games than they are going to win. And I think Jim Harbaugh realized that after being in the NFL early in the season, this is not a recipe to win anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the game has changed. We're going to have Greg Roman too. You know, he was always a proponent of running heavy and running the clock out and scoring at the end of long drives. But now what you're seeing them do is become more balanced. And this is what's going to make the Chargers very dangerous for teams. Is if they allow themselves to be more balanced, Justin Herbert is a really good quarterback. You need to let him shine, and that's going to play into your hands very well. You're going to be able to beat teams like the Bengals. You're going to be able to beat teams that normally people wouldn't even give them the time of day. But now that you're kind of almost changing your mindset over the course of the season, which is going to make your offense way tougher to stop.
Mm-hmm. A couple of teams here I just want to bring up with the whole coaching hot seat here that we brought up. There's the coaches that were on the hot seat. Dennis Allen no longer there. But Eberflus, for one, and Doug Peterson that are both in this picture right now. How are they not fired right now after this past week?
Well, because honestly, they don't have to fire him right now. Everybody kind of knows that they're on the hot seat.
Out, see you later.
But you might as well you're paying them anyway. You're going to pay those coaches anyway. So why not finish the rest of the season out and then say, adios, it was nice seeing you. But
well, maybe that says to them too that maybe they don't have that head coach in the house right now then for them.
Either, well, nobody
the replacement does. Right now for them.
Nobody does. It, like when you decide that, like even for the Jets to get rid of Robert Saleh, which shocked a lot of people. Jeff Albright isn't a head coach, but someone has to take the helm.
Mm-hmm.
So, he nominated as tribute.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so here we go. We've talked about a couple of scenarios here. Let's get to the picks, Joe. I'm going to, you know, clean up the here and do the rock music. Let's get it going.
All right.
Let's start rocking.
Let's do it.
All right, so Thursday night, we got the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. Pittsburgh edge out a win, and I guess I should have been, I did that pick. I should have really looked at, I guess, the overall face-offs against the Baltimore Ravens. So, Pittsburgh has had their number, and here they go. They edge out one again, but so it's a game of missed opportunities again, so you can't really gauge that. You know, Baltimore gets the late score and then misses the 2-point conversion.
I was actually the
game winning field goal.
I was actually disappointed in the call, the play call.
Yeah,
I felt that Lamar Jackson. Obviously, we all know his mobility and all that, but utilizing him as a quarterback in that kind of situation, I feel like would have played off really well. You already have like these fast wide receivers that kind of get open, kind of like jitterbugs. You know what I mean? They're just so quick out of breaks. And I think that if they allowed Lamar Jackson to throw the ball, maybe try to find someone in the back of the end zone or whatnot, whoever ended up getting open. And if that didn't happen, Lamar can take it upon himself to maybe put it in the end zone. You know what I mean? With everybody spread out. But, For Lamar to kind of try to make it happen, it was a little too much to do against a good, really good Steeler defense.
All right, Cleveland, we've talked about them throughout the season. They're in rough shape here. Again, they lost last week. Pittsburgh, again, fly high off that last win here, but I think they're going to keep it rolling here in this divisional matchup. It's probably even going to be a little tight early on just because the way these guys fight each other here in those tight divisional matches. But right. I'm going to give the edge here to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, amazing.
Right.
It's just my analysis goes as this. The Steelers should win, and they will win. And the Browns are on a very dismal path. And even though we thought Kevin Stefanski might be on the hot seat because of all the losing and the fact that he's been there for quite a number of years – yeah, it sounds like they're – at least that's what they're saying. At least they're saying, like, no, Kevin's our guy. He's We're going to stick with him. You know, Andrew Berry, the GM, kind of vouched for him.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. Things could change.
Right.
But, yeah, give me the Steelers. They got a really good defense. The offense that has come together now that Russell Wilson is the starter. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a game where I understand their divisional opponents, the rivals and all that. It may be close, but then I could also see the Steelers pull away at the end.
Yeah, exactly. I see the same thing. And it was funny now with the coach decisions being made and things like that, and now we're getting towards towards the end of the season here. Mm-hmm. Mike Vrabel's name is popping up again.
You know, it hasn't just popped up. I mean, he's been dubbed as the best head coaching candidate to be hired in the offseason, which would make a lot of sense. You could see it happen.
Right?
But I think he has to go to the right team. I don't think it's like, oh, he'll go on any team and they'll just turn that organization around. He's got to go to a very specific team, the team that fits his fabric.
All right, here we go. The Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears.
Excellent.
One thing about last week, again, I didn't really expect a lot out of the offense anyways, but even the defense letting up that many points, it was shocking to me. So, yeah. I mean, I think this team is in a downward spiral now. I don't think they're going to – I think maybe they can kind of keep it close early on with this one because Sam Darnold still making a few mistakes but looked a lot better last week. He threw it to Jordan Addison for one. So, like, holy moly, not just Justin Jefferson. And look at what they were able to do. I'm going to take the Minnesota Vikings in this
one. Sam Darnold is a big fan of our show, so he took our advice and, you know, did his thing on Sunday.
That's good. He should do it more often.
Yeah, you know, Vikings-Bears, again, I think the Bears have been in trouble since they drafted Caleb Williams. Honestly, like, he's just not the quarterback. And he's proven it. Mm-hmm. He's proven that he's just not the number one worthy overall pick. You know, this Bears team would have gone a very different direction if they drafted Jaden Daniels.
Right.
You know, and
I was just going to say that, right?
A lot of people thought, like, oh, well, Caleb is the guy. But the Bears, for the first time, kind of fell into that allure of, all the hype that was surrounding Caleb, went with it, took him, and now you think they're regretting it a little bit? Probably. I think this Bears team is on a very bad course. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Give me the Vikings, which is a playoff caliber team. Sam Darnold kind of got back on track last week. This is going to be a nice momentum booster if they're able to win again against a divisional opponent. Give me the Vikes.
Mm-hmm. All right, the Detroit Lions and the Indianapolis Colts. Detroit.
Woo!
Smoking, man. What, 50-something points last week? Crazy.
52.
Yeah,
points.
Amazing. You know, and that's the thing with this team.
That offense is crazy.
Absolutely do, yeah. Some games, again, they'll just be close here and edge it out, but then other teams that they should really destroy at this point. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing you see with it, with a really good team. Teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars, you should be able to blow out like that. And that's what I like about this team, and that's why I think they are the most dangerous team in the NFL right now. You don't see the Chiefs doing this. You don't even see the Bills doing things like this. The Lions are absolutely for real, and it's exciting to watch, and I can't wait. I hope they make it all the way, man. I mean, because what a story for this team.
Yeah, right. I mean, and that's the thing, too, with this Lions team. We've watched them grow the last couple of years, and now they are full-blown Super Bowl contender, no mm-hmm. doubt about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we even talked about it last week about how who do you think is the best team right now, the best team in the NFL? Mm-hmm. It has to be the Lions. How can you argue not? Mm-hmm. So they are on pace to continue their winning ways. They are facing the Colts this week. Even though it's in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. the Lions should have a field day with this team and definitely are getting another win to go and hang up.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's the thing with Indianapolis. I think they were lucky to play the Jets last week because, again, Jets just find a way to kill themselves here. And the Colts, I mean, they're kind of that up-and-down team. And mm-hmm. the same thing, Richardson, up and down. So I think this is his down game. Detroit's going to have their way. And I'm liking the Lions, too, as well, Joe.
Shocker.
Yeah, woo! That's shocking so far, these picks, man. We're blowing your minds right now. the New England Patriots, the Miami Dolphins. I think this one's a little tighter. I'll tell you the
this
truth.
This one will just be interesting, for sure. It's
Patriots. And watching last week's game, especially, mm-hmm. you just got to say, like, I wish if Drake May had a number one receiver, I think this team looks a lot better.
That's why, I mean, that's the thing too, is that they are still in a rebuild mode. Mm-hmm. Like, we know that they don't have offensive linemen like they should. We know that they don't have the receivers like they should. But it seems like they're on pace to have another high pick. Mm-hmm. And with that high pick, they could take another, like, maybe a number one wide receiver. Maybe they take a tackle. We'll see. Wait and see what they do with that pick. But until they get there, at least they hit on Drake May. Mm-hmm. Drake May's panning out. Drake May's playing pretty well as a rookie with literally, like, nothing around him. So he's overcoming a lot of obstacles right now. But now he has to try to overcome the Dolphins in Miami. And a team that now has Tua. Like, if Tua wasn't there, mm-hmm. I actually might pick the Patriots in this one, honestly. Mm-hmm. Even though the Patriots, you know, their defense isn't playing that well either. The Dolphins seemed like they woke up as soon as Tua got back, you know, at the helm there and is now distributing the football. Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill getting more involved. Now he's happy. And this offense is starting to get back into the groove of things. I'm going to go with the Miami Dolphins against the Patriots. I do think that this will be closer mm-hmm. than maybe some people might believe, but I think the Dolphins get it done.
Right, and that's just the way these games have played out. And even though Tua is back here with the Dolphins, I think they definitely do have a better shot. It's still just they're not running like on all cylinders even right now, so I'm waiting for them to hit their stride. And maybe they do towards the end of the season and then kind of breeze through into that playoffs, and that's one of those teams to be watching here that are very dangerous, and it could be these Miami Dolphins. So I'm going to go with the Dolphins too as well, especially here against the Patriots. The Patriots do not play well against the Dolphins here in Miami, so I'm going to pick the Dolphins here all day. Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming back here, and then now they're going to get the New York Giants and the Tommy Bucks. DeVito. There he is, Tommy Cutlets, baby. I would like to say, hey, that's the difference. That's the difference right here. Tommy DeVito is going to play. Well, one, Giants suck at home. So that's one thing. Yeah, two, you're starting Tommy DeVito. Three, they're just not a very good team. On the other side of the ball, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they don't have their star wide receivers, but they're still their quarterback is a hell of a lot better than the one on the other side. That team still plays well. They play with heart. They're a contender. They're not going to lose to the Giants here. So I'm liking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers all day.
I mean, they're a contender, but they got a hill to climb still.
Yeah.
Like on the NFC side. Like mm-hmm. they definitely got to string some wins along here and get back on track. The Buccaneers against the Giants, this is kind of like the opportunity for them where they need to start now. I don't know because, you know, we are live right now. It's on a Tuesday night. We don't have injury reports until tomorrow. So we are picking these games without injury reports and waiting to see what happens.
Blind, baby.
The Buccaneers, I'm not really sure. It might be this week or next week that they're going to get Mike Evans back. If it's this week, it's going to be worse for the Giants. Mm-hmm. But the Buccaneers have been playing well. Like, their defense isn't that great,
right.
But it's okay. But Baker Mayfield he's legit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anybody that was, like, down on him, even if you were a Browns fan and you hated him as a Brown and all that, I think you're realizing that he was better than what was shown. But the Buccaneers have him. Buccaneers are going to capitalize on that with the upcoming surge of their running backs with Bucky Irving, who happens to be a rookie. I really like that Sean Tucker kid. I want him to get more involved, but obviously they have Rashad White too. And the Giants, they got Tyrone Tracy Jr. Look for him to be a focal point in this game because he's probably, other than Malik Nabers, he's like the only like playmaker they had.
Yeah.
So I don't anticipate this game being close. I think Tampa Bay kind of runs away with it, even though the Giants do have a good defense. I just think Baker Mayfield is so different right now in the way he's playing football. Give me the Bucs.
Yep. And Tampa Bay, again, it is favoring for the rest of the half of their season. They do have the Panthers twice. They've got the Raiders.
Right.
So they've got a shot. And then Dallas Cowboys, too. You know, they're not exactly, a tough, at least at this point.
Not a very difficult rest of schedule.
Yep, absolutely. So it definitely favors for them. The top five ranked offense right now without their star wide receivers here. So next we've got the Dallas Cowboys here. I just mentioned them and the Washington Commanders here. This is what I think would have been interesting too. Mm-hmm. Like, Zach, say you got Jaden Daniels on one side, but you got Cooper Rush on the other side. If you put Trey Lance even on the other side, I think this game just has a little more intrigue even, too. I think that just would be nice to watch and exciting here. But Washington, in some tough games, lose a few here, you know, have a little chink in their armor. But you know what? This team is still good. And those matchups were against good playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas is not one of those. So Washington, the Commanders at home, I'm liking them to win this one here. Dallas goes down once again.
Yeah, this is definitely a game that the Commanders needed to happen because mm-hmm. they suffered a couple losses and now you know some people are thinking are they gonna start to fall back down the ladder of the division, but I think this is kind of where they can kind of get their feet back underneath them here against the Cowboys, get a win here, and maybe Washington does stand for wins. Maybe that's what it is. We're gonna go with the Commanders in this one against the Cowboys. I just think that I don't think the Cowboys have any answer on defense for Jaden Daniels and what he can do. Mm-hmm. So, yep, Commanders all day long.
All right, Kansas City Chiefs, they are no longer undefeated, Joe. There they are.
Yep.
And against the Carolina
Panthers. The Dolphins can celebrate as an organization.
Yes, once again. I'm going Panthers all day on this one. No,
I don't blame you. They've been playing pretty good football. Adam Thielen is returning. I mean, there's a lot of hype up there.
Yeah, but again, Kansas City, for once I did see the offense actually start to do something here. Patrick Mahomes played a little better here, but still not the best this season. Again, it what's funny is you could still put his stats next to Daniel Jones, and they are pretty identical,
yes.
Minus the fact that Patrick Mahomes has more INTs.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, and nobody brings that up at all. He's still the best out there.
I know.
Patrick.
Oh, you know what was great? Is now the Kermit the Frog doll is catching on fire. Like the Bills fans had it hanging outside the stadium as the bus, where the buses kind of pull in. Mm-hmm. So, like, the Chiefs obviously saw it. I mean, that's going to catch on every time they go to visit somewhere now. It's just too funny.
Oh, yeah.
But the Chiefs going against the Panthers, I mean, this is kind of like, this is just not even, it's not even going to be much competition, I don't think. I mean, who knows? We've been shocked before where we thought for sure that one team should win over another, like hands down, not even be close. Mm-hmm. And then you watch the halftime scores pop up and you're like, wait, what is happening right now? How are they ahead? Yeah. But I think the Chiefs do end up getting the win, even if there's any little bit of a scare of them losing.
Right.
Somehow they'll figure out a way, and maybe they'll have to tip the referees a little bit more this week.
Right. And we've seen it, I think last year, I think they even lost to like the Colts or something like that. But yeah. I mean, that Colts team was still even better than what Carolina is right now. So. I got Kansas City, obviously, then, too. So in case
you do? I wasn't sure.
I was joking about Carolina.
I know. I mean, you know, hey, Adam Thielen makes his return. It could change things around.
Hey, we got Tennessee and the Houston Texans. Houston, another win. Tennessee, again, oh, man, that Will Levis had some big plays again, too. You know, that
he
big,
did.
Huge play
he
coming
did.
Thrown out of the end zone. How about that? Yep. But again, we know what Tennessee is right now. They're looking towards next year. Houston's looking to make a deep run here and again, make a big Super Bowl push here. So I'm going to go with the Houston Texans at home.
Yeah, you know, the Texans, they sit at 2-8.
They're getting healthier now, too, Joe.
They are getting healthier. Mm-hmm. And my thing for, like, this is always like that kind of like that teetering point if you're a fan. Like, do you want to keep losing and get a higher draft pick, you know, the more games you lose and all that? Or do you want to see your team do well? You want to see, they might still not win, but you want to see them be, you know, competitive and show a little something as you close the season. But mm-hmm. Titans, you know, Will Levis, you're right. He had a good game last week. He surprised some people. He wasn't he didn't make any, you know, moronic mistakes last week. But this is Texans division. Let's just say what it is. You know, Texans are 7-4. The next closest team, the Colts, are 5-6. And I think this is where the Texans in this part of the season are going to expand that lead going forward. So give me the Texans in this one.
All right. Nice. All right. We've got the Denver Broncos and the Las Vegas Raiders.
That's a team still?
Yes. Maybe can they gamble on the team? They put them up in Las Vegas. Like, hey, we're going to throw it down here, put it all on black.
And then
we just lost the team. Oh, no, there it is. They're now no longer in Las Vegas. Maybe Tom Brady will turn it around. Who knows?
That's the rumor now. The rumor is that Tom Brady isn't – like, we already heard, like, Tom Brady's going to be somewhat have somewhat of a voice in the front office and whatnot. But Tom Brady, now it sounds like he's going to have a more prominent voice in this. And there's some – underlining stories that are happening behind closed doors, like Tom Brady, you know, maybe not a lot of people know this, but Shador Sanders, the rookie that's going to be coming out, and a lot of people crown him as the best quarterback coming out, apparently works out with Tom Brady, works at the TB12, performance training studio. So that kind of linkage right there, like if Tom Brady says, hey, Mark, hey, this is the guy you want. You know what I mean? Like, and they have the high enough pick there. Maybe that's the thing. But we'll have to wait and see how that all irons out. I just think it's kind of funny how Tom Brady, who used to be one of the best quarterbacks to ever throw the football, is now in the front office of the Raiders, and
which was the historic
might be calling shots.
Chuck Rule, which is crazy. I mean, it's
a fumble. By the way, I don't know if you know this.
It's funny how it all comes full circle now. It's nuts. So here we go, Denver. So we made a conversation out of this game somehow, Joe. But
we're good
Denver,
at that. We can do this.
that defense is very good, and Bo Nix is hitting his stride here with this. That offense is starting to be bounced down and looking really well on top of it, too. So Denver, again, really good team. I like what they're doing. They're going to keep rolling here and make a push for the playoffs.
Yeah, Broncos have – I mean, they definitely have one of the best defenses in football. I don't know if they are number one yet, but they're pretty darn close. And this is a team that continues to get better every single week. The Raiders, just don't screw this up. Don't try to win this game. Just, you know, keep doing what you're doing. Gardner Minshew sounds like he's going to be starting.
They are three, Joe, by the way.
Yeah, so they're top three. Mm-hmm. And just keep losing like you're supposed to right now.
Yeah.
Because you got nothing going on for you. Yep. So, yeah, Raiders lose. Broncos
where
win.
A head coach might be different here at the end of this season. You know, yeah, different changes here.
That's another story, too. They're like, oh, well, you know, now that Tom Brady's there, like, will Tom Brady save Antonio Pierce his job? Because of that whole, like, you know, working with Shador, if they happen to draft Shador Sanders, do they keep Pierce and the people that they have? Because now they have a quarterback, or at least supposed to have a quarterback, you know, does that change everything around? But, you know.
Right.
You know how I feel about that.
No,
I just don't think he's the right guy right now.
Right. Yep. All right, next, San Francisco 49ers and the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay,
good
man.
Game. Good wow. game. This will be a good game, guys.
This will be, because, again, these teams kind of are underwhelming a lot of times. You know what I mean? I thought San Francisco was going to come out firing last week.
Right, I did too.
Look, so I thought Brock Purdy looked good, but it just seemed on other parts of it. You know, the ball didn't move a lot. The defense was giving up plays. Mm-hmm. Bosa injured in that game too, right? So
Nikki.
Yep. But Green Bay and Jordan Love again making mistakes here, and that game was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be here too. And he almost gave up the game for him. So
man.
This is up and down, man.
Yeah,
you know, I almost nod it to the Green Bay Packers because they are at home.
They are home, right?
I just think San Francisco again. I give me that glimmer of hope. I'm like, dude, with the we look at their team, you look at their roster. You're like, dude, with the guys like this, they should be able to win this game though. So I think looking at that, I'm going to go with the 49ers still, but I will not be shocked if the Green Bay Packers can pull this one off here at home.
I hope not. They're two good teams, but I mean, the Packers, they've been so up and down offensively, you know, not really defensively. I still feel like the defense is good, but like that offense is just not doing as well as it did, you know, in the first couple of weeks before Love's injury. I don't know how much of that is still lingering or if it is at all, but it just looks awfully odd that Jordan Love was on fire in the beginning of the year and now is just like, what kind of Jordan Love are we going to get this week? It's almost like Geno Smith and him changed roles.
Right.
Geno Smith played well last week and Love not so much. So I don't know. We talk about Jekyll and Hyde teams,
right?
Well, we talked about that last week, and this is one of those teams to me that just you don't know what you're going to get. The Niners, they're banged up. And, again, we're picking these games that we don't have any injury report yet. I know it's early in the week, but I just feel like the Niners will be a little bit more consistent than Green Bay. Give me the Niners.
Right. And what sucks, too, is because you look at and that game, yes, it's a tough divisional opponent, Seattle, but you've got to think that for the 49ers, you still got to play for this division. I don't think Atlanta.
Well, nobody's going to give it to them.
Well, exactly. You know? I don't think Arizona's going to, you know, release this thing right away for them. And you still even got the Rams, you know, trying to make a push here too. So that division is just shuffled all over the place. You got to fight in that one. It's tight. You could go anywhere. So you can't let some of these wins squander away. Next, we've got the Arizona Cardinals right there.
That leads us right into this one.
And Seattle's divisional draft. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
You nice get right segue. Into it.
That was a nice one.
Yes, Arizona gets a rest. Seattle coming off a big win. They do play well at home, but, again, that has kind of fooled us into picking these guys, and they lose. So this team's kind of that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of team we talked about last week, too, as well. Right. Arizona off a bye, right? And, you know, so how are they going to perform in this one, Joe?
I mean, they've been performing. They've been overachieving all year long, Jim.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the defense, we thought that wasn't going to be a strength of theirs, but apparently it is. Like, they play really solid defense, really good all over the football field. They defend the pass well, short, intermediate, deep. They create pressure. And then offensively, we were like, well, their interior line isn't that strong, you know. They only have Marvin Harrison Jr., and then they have some of the, you know, second and third year guys behind him. Like, what are they going to do? Like, is Kyler Murray also going to stay healthy? And so far he has. So it's helped this team grow together, and they've developed together to become, honestly, one of the better NFC teams that was not expected at all. And here they are facing against the Seattle Seahawks and the 12. in Seattle. It's going to be rocking. It's going to be loud. This is a Seattle team last week against the Niners that we talked about Jekyll and Hyde. Mm-hmm. Seattle woke up and decided to go back to Seattle football and play Seahawk football. So they've done a very good job defensively. Geno Smith played really well last week. Does it continue this week against a different opponent? That's the problem that I have. It's like, mm-hmm. usually when Seahawks are playing in Seattle, I kind of tend to always pick them mm-hmm. because it is such a difficult place to play for any other team. And usually Seattle thrives off of the fans and gets those close wins. In this one, I don't know, man. I'm leaning kind of Arizona. I'm leaning towards the Cardinals to continue to stay atop of that division and maybe even create a little bit of a gap here. This is a major opportunity for the Cardinals to kind of put their stamp on this. Give me the Cardinals in this one.
Yeah, here we go. I want to lean towards the Cardinals too as well, because again, when you said Seattle, they are 2-4, I think, or 2-6 at home, I think, right now. No, 2-4, right? Yeah, 2-4 it is. So they have been losing here at home more than often, you know, than they used to.
That but doesn't matter, though.
This being said, they do play the Cardinals again, not next week after this, but the week after again. So it's back-to-back. With these tight divisional matchups mm-hmm. here, with these teams the way they are, I think they're going to swap picks again. They're going to go. They're going to go back and forth. One's going to take a win here. One's going to take a loss there. I say that Seattle is going to come back, and they're okay. going to win at home in this one. And in 2 weeks, Arizona, I would not be surprised if they pull off the win. So I'm going with Seattle at home to try and change their ways.
You hear that, everybody? Jim won't be surprised if the Cardinals win. Yeah. Just so you know.
There you go. That's right. I'm never surprised, am I? Sunday night in the Rams.
Let's go.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
A good matchup.
Yes.
I know maybe some people might look at this initially and they might be like, well, the Rams, they're not really that good, are they? Well, they're a lot healthier now. Puka, Cup, working together. They look like a different offense out there. And the defense, they got a couple of young guys, you know, Jared Verse and Brendan Fisk, mm-hmm. been playing, having really good rookie years on that defense. So, team in L.A., you know, they get a home game, but the Eagles fans travel well, Jim. They really travel well. They're all over the place. The Eagles, this is an opportunity for both teams where, like, one team might, you know, if they lose this, I would say if the Rams were to lose this one, it's going to be tough, you know, down the stretch for them to make the playoffs. Eagles, they are a team that should win. Now, they've basically been riding the back of Saquon Barkley. Like, that dude has just been on another level. Like, he's just one of these superheroes that put on an Eagles uniform and said, I'll lead the way. You just follow me. And the Eagles have been able to put a couple of wins together after, you know, they had their break. This matchup here, though, kind of I almost want to pick both teams because I really like the Eagles. I like the fact that that they've been able to open up a lot of holes for Saquon Barkley to run through, and he just kind of carries bodies after that. But the Rams, this is like one of those things where with Puka back and them, they got a different feel now. Mm-hmm. Will they have enough? They have a healthy offensive line for once. So that to me right there is like the difference. Now that I think I'm going to pick the Rams. That's what I'm going to do.
I was thinking about the Rams here too, but again, I look back at the Rams here and a close one against New England.
Yep.
A close one, a bunch of different times, overtime against Seattle. Mm-hmm. Weren't able to beat the Dolphins here too.
Yep.
5-point matchup here with the Raiders. It's just they're too close always, and I don't think you can do that with a team like the Philadelphia Eagles. And right now, too, their defense not ranked very well, too. It's 22nd in the league against the run, 18th, which is the middle of the pack. But because that's where I think they're going to go. They're going to take Saquon Barkley, got to run first here. So I think I'm going to give the edge to the Philadelphia Eagles just because they do have Saquon Barkley there. But, you know, the Rams, they're going to play hard. They're going to try, but they just keep it too close for me. I can't trust them in this one.
I think it's different now that they have those guys healthy in that receiving core now. That's what's going to really help that team. A lot of those losses are when they had those guys banged up, too. So,
well, I'm talking about, like, the last 2 weeks, though.
Oh, only 2 weeks?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you mentioned, like, four games.
Well, I said, no, Seattle. The last Seattle was the one before this one, the Patriots. And the Dolphins.
And the
those last 3 weeks.
Yeah, the one that Puka got ejected.
Yeah, yeah, and that one. All right, so there you go. Monday Night Football now. Here we go. Monday Night Football. We got the Baltimore Ravens and the Los Angeles Chargers. You think Greg Roman comes back and says, that's it, you goddamn, you know, Ravens. I'm going to come back and get my revenge game here. You think that's what they're going to
honestly, that's what the Charger players are going to be playing for, is to help Greg Roman, you know, beat up on the Ravens, maybe get a win, and then kind of put it in their face, rub it in their face, you know? That's what they're going to be hyped for that.
Yeah.
Charger, you know, the players will get behind a former coach of a team and play really hard football. And this is going to be a really good matchup, I feel like. This is going to test the waters for the Chargers. But at the same time, like, the Ravens, they're one of those tougher teams that, you know, can you match their intensity? Can you match their physicality? The Chargers are up to it. I know that. They're built on toughness. They're built on, you know, the Jim Harbaugh way of football. But this is Jim versus John. Mm-hmm. That's what this is going to come down to, the Harbaugh brothers duking it out, Monday Night Football. I like the Ravens in this one, honestly. Like, I just like Derrick Henry to run the ball. This is going to be interesting because both coaches like to run the ball. Both coaches, you know, they love these type of, like, you know, black and blue type games where it's just nitty-gritty physicality, may the best man win at the end. You know, grind them type of football. Like, I like the Ravens in this scenario. Give me the Ravens.
Yeah, yeah. And this is going to be
tough. And the Chargers, I want to just say this real quick. The Chargers defense has been playing out of their minds. Mm-hmm. They have. And they've been without Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack wasn't there last week, but Joey Bosa, now healthy again, you know, wreaking havoc, creating pressure. This team overall, the defense has gotten better over the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what I was going to say. You know, first down, you know, this season, not very good, but now they're ranked number one in the league right now for points against. And that's the thing. This team has definitely did that. And like you said, even though they don't have Khalil Mack, you saw him step up last week a little bit. But are they able to contain Lamar Jackson here and the weapons that they have here for Baltimore? And that's the thing. That's a kicker for me, I think. I think that's the X factor. I don't think this defense of Baltimore, even though they've kind of been lax a little bit, especially in the secondary, I don't think they're going to give up big runs to, like, Justin Herbert like he was able to do last week. So I think that's a decider here in this one. Baltimore, I think, is going to make a push here again against this team after, you know, suffering that crucial loss last week. Mm-hmm. They bounced back. I think it's going to be a good Monday Night Football game. And John Harbaugh has beaten Jim before in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So I think he's going to do it again. Sorry. Here you go, Jim. Here's another loss. They hug it out at the end. So
I just got this little piece of news that popped up.
What's up?
Apparently, when we talked about the Jets earlier.
Yep.
Apparently, like, the owner wanted to bench Rodgers, and it didn't happen.
Okay,
so
does that mean, is that
going on a tirade?
Albright. So then, but who makes that call? It would have been Albright. Would have been like, you know, we're not doing that, right? You know, or, you know,
I don't know. Was it Joe Douglas?
Joe Douglas just said, no, stop this now, stop the insanity.
It could have been Joe Douglas.
You're fired. Get out of here. I mean, that's nuts. Again, what are you going to do? I mean, what's that saving you? Unless, for me, if I'm benching Aaron Rodgers again, I'm looking at it as, hey, our season's lost. You're banged up. If you feel like you still want to play with us next year, maybe save him again and then move on.
I mean,
because that offensive line, you said, it's letting it pressure in like nonstop, and he has no time to throw the ball, and he is just getting killed out there.
But the thing of it all is who makes that? That's a terrible decision. Like, even if even if Rodgers is to come back, benching Rodgers is all it's doing is absolute certainty you're going to lose every game then. You're just going to lose. Like you're not going to, you can't work on anything then.
Yep.
So like, and you're going to have to still pay Rodgers. Like you're just paying him not to play.
Right.
So, I don't know.
That's again, another owner that has his hands too much in it. That's more than what Jerry Jones would do. You know, I don't think Jerry Jones is doing that. Jerry Jones used to though.
Like,
I think he wanted to before with Jimmy Johnson.
Jerry Jones has definitely been heavily involved in choosing, like, what players play. He's had his favorites for sure over the years. Now, the last couple of years, you're starting to see Jerry take a slightly, a slight back seat to the overall operations. He's still involved, but not really at the same time.
All right, everybody. So there you go. There's our picks. That's the show for the week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Joe, tell everybody one more time where they can find more episodes of ours, The Blindside Blitz, and then other shows just like ours too as well.
Very simple. Head over to grumblingsmedia.com. And while you're at the website, you can check out articles. They got articles. They got other podcasts like ours over there. Whether you're into sports, entertainment, or even political, you can check them out there on the website. Also, anywhere you get your podcast, guys, Grumblings Media, we are all over the place. We are growing exponentially. We are getting very, very close to 4,000 subscribers. Want you guys to help us, and it's so simple. It's totally free. You don't even have to pay anything. Like, we're just doing this out of the goodness of our hearts. Head over to YouTube. Hit that subscribe button at Grumblings Media. Make sure you hit the thumbs up while you're there. Share to everybody that you know loves Football Talk, because we are the most interactive football talk show out there. We want to prove it to everybody. Light up the comment section every single week, every Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make sure you tune in here, and we're gonna have a good time. We're gonna talk some football. You guys might come up with some questions. You might want to talk about something. We're here for you guys.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll see you guys next time.